ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 12 एंटाइटल्ड रहुगण कन्वर्सेस विथ जड़ भरत। टेक्स्ट 8। यदाक्षितावेव चराचरस्य विदामनिष्ठां प्रभवं च नित्यम् तन्नामतोऽन्यत् व्यवहारमूलम् निरूप्यतां सत्क्रियानुमेयम्।
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. All of us on the surface of the globe are living entities in different forms. Some of us are moving and some not moving. All of us come into existence, remain for some time and are annihilated when the body is again mingled with the earth. We are all simply different transformations of the earth. Different bodies and capacities are simply transformations of the earth that exist in name only. For everything grows out of the earth, and when everything is annihilated, it again mingles with the earth. In other words, we are but dust, and we shall but be dust. Everyone can consider this point. Purport. In the Brahma Sutra, it is said, Tad Ananyatvam Arabhambhana Shabdadibhya 2.1.14. This cosmic manifestation is a mixture of matter and spirit. But the cause is the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.20, it is said, Idam hi Vishwam Bhagavan Ivetaraha. The entire cosmic manifestation is but a transformation of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because of illusion, no one can appreciate that God is non-different from the material world. Actually, He is not different. But this material world is simply a transformation of His different energies. Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. There are also other versions of this in the Vedas. Sarvam Khalvamidam Brahma. Matter and spirit are all non-different from the Supreme Brahman, Bhagavan. Lord Sri Krishna confirms this statement in the Bhagavad Gita 7.4. Me bhinna prakriti rashtadha. The material energy is Krishna's energy, but it is separated from Him. The spiritual energy is also His energy, but it is not separated from Him. When the material energy is engaged in the service of the Supreme Spirit, so-called material energy is also transformed into spiritual energy, just as an iron rod becomes fire when placed in contact with fire. When we can understand by an analytical study that Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes, our knowledge is perfect. Simply understanding the transformations of different energies is partial knowledge. We must come to the ultimate cause. Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu. The knowledge of those who are not interested in knowing the original cause of all emanations is never perfect knowledge. There is nothing in the phenomenal world that is not produced by the supreme energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aromas from the earth are different scents manufactured and used for different purposes. But the original cause is the earth, nothing else. A water pot made of earth can be used to carry water for some time, but ultimately the pot is nothing but earth. Therefore, there is no difference between the pot and its original ingredient, earth. It is simply a different transformation of the energy. Originally, the cause or primary ingredient is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the varieties are only byproducts. In Chandogya Upanishad, it is stated, Yatha Saumya Ekena Mrit Pindena Sarvam Mrinmayam Vigyatam Syat Vacharam Bhanam Vikaro Namadhyayam Mritiketi Eva Satyam. If one studies the earth, he naturally understands the byproducts of the earth. The Vedas therefore enjoin Yasmin Vigyate Sarvam Evam Vigyatam Bhavati. If one simply understands the origin, the original cause Krishna, the cause of all causes, then naturally everything else is understood. Although it may be presented in different varieties, by understanding the original cause of different varieties, one can understand everything. If we understand Krishna, the original cause of everything, we do not need to separately study the subsidiary varieties. Therefore, from the very beginning it is said, Satyam Param Dhimahi. One has to concentrate one's understanding on the Supreme Truth, Krishna, or Vasudev. The word Vasudev indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes. Matstani Sarva Bhutani Nachaham Teshva Vastitaha. This is a summary of phenomenal and nominal philosophy. The phenomenal world depends on the nominal existence. Similarly, everything exists by virtue of the potency of the Supreme Lord. Although due to our ignorance, the Supreme Lord is not perceived in everything. So herein we can see, in these instructions, how Jad Bharat is explaining in a very analytical way the nature of this material world, its creation and its creator. Srila Prabhupada one time lecturing on the instructions of Jad Bharat to Maharaj Rahugun, he spoke that when the scriptures explain the magnificence of the Supreme Lord, it is for us to realize our insignificance. When the magnificent nature of the Supreme Lord is explained, it makes us realize how insignificant we are. For example, if we are standing in front of a big, huge mountain, then we can understand how tiny we are. Otherwise, if we are standing in front of an ant, we might think how big we are. So similarly, when such descriptions are given, as herein we are reading in this verse, that how Lord Krishna is addressed as the cause of all causes. And Srila Prabhupada, he writes in the purport that many times when such kind of descriptions are given, we see that people who are under the impression of the Mayavad philosophy, who think that everything is Brahman and therefore they are also Brahman, and therefore they are the cause of everything. Sarvam Khalvamidam Brahma. It's a bona fide, authentic Vedic statement. But many times the Mayavadis misconstrue this. And also Krishna mentions about this in the Bhagavad Gita, that under illusion one thinks, Prakriti Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvasha. That under the influence of this material energy, one thinks that he is the doer. Karta aham iti manyate. So, when one thinks that I am the doer, I am the cause of all causes, then that is not a spiritual realization, it is actually a material illusion. Like one time one sage was performing austerity in a forest, and his motivation was that when the Supreme Lord comes in front of me, then he had a long list of the things which he was desiring, for which he was performing the austerity. So he'll be asking from the Lord all of those things. So he performed his austerities for a long time, and when the Supreme Lord appeared in front of him to ask what did he desire, so now he was ready with his long list of whatever he wanted. And before he could ask anything from the Supreme Lord, Sun personified appeared in front of the Supreme Lord and said that if you are going to give him anything, then I need some percentage of that. And this sage looked at Sun God and said, what do you mean? I performed all the austerities. How come you want some share of that? So Sun God said that all the nourishment, the sunlight which you got in this whole course of your austerity was given by me. If I was not there, how would you be nourished? How would you be getting all that sunlight? So therefore, I am also equally qualified or eligible to get some percentage of the result of your austerity. So the sage said, okay. He told the Supreme Lord, give him some percentage. And then the river which was flowing in that forest, the personified river appeared in front of the sage and said, I also need some percentage. And again the sage was surprised and asked him, why you? He said, all these days, all these years, you used my water to drink, you used my water to bathe in, so you got nourishment through my waters also. So therefore you have to give some percentage to me also. And then wind god appeared, and then earth personified appeared, that I also need the share for all the austerities which you have performed, because I was giving you the support. Then that tree under which he was performing the austerity, the tree appeared, and the tree said, I also need some percentage, because I was giving you all the fruits and the shade and was protecting you from rains and everything. So like that, all these personalities started appearing and asking for their shares. And then finally the Supreme Lord asked this sage, did you perform this austerity? And then he realized that he was totally dependent on these different manifestations of the Supreme Lord to perform his austerity. So we see that under illusion one thinks that he is the doer, or if it's a greater illusion, thinks that he is the cause of all causes, as the Mayavadis who are, you know, attacked by the last snare of Maya when they think that they are the cause of all causes. As one Mayavadi, he would say that he is God, and when he was questioned by some of the general masses that how can you say that you are God, and he said, okay, then you are also God. So if there is any question, if there is any doubt that I am God, so you be also satisfied that you are also God. So herein we see Prabhupada is pointing out this defect. When such explanations are given, like in this verse, it is explained in an analytical way how everything is actually results from this earth planet, and everything goes back in this earth planet. I was just reading the 8th canto a few days ago, in which the prayers of Gajendra, some of the prayers are also very technical, in which Srila Prabhupada explains that how everything comes from Krishna. And Prabhupada gives this example of a potter who is making a pot. And he says that the potter who is making the pot, which is made out of earth, actually the potter is also made out of earth. The person who is making the pot is also made out of these earthly elements. And the pot is made out of earth, and the wheel on which that pot is made is also made out of earth. And ultimately, when everything is finished, when the potter will die, when the pot will break, everything will again go back into the earth. As in this verse, it is explained that how everything comes from earth and everything goes back into earth. So, when Mayavadis, when they read such kind of sections, they try to explain that similarly, we have all come from the Brahman and we'll go back into that Brahman. Now, Krishna also explains in the Bhagavad Gita that how avyakto aksharo iti tamahu paramam gatim. That paramam gatim is to understand me as avyakta, is to understand me as akshara. So if we don't have the explanations of bona fide acharyas, we might also get confused. That here in Krishna is explaining that paramam gatim is avyakta, is akshara, is that non-differentiated Brahman. So how to understand? So I was thinking that we'll take one verse from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam to understand this particular aspect of the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Brahman aspect, and how it is addressed as avyakta, it is addressed as impersonal, non-differentiated, nirgun, and all those bombastic words used by the Mayavadis. So what is the literal understanding of this word avyakta? And this is a verse spoken, surprisingly, by Mother Devaki, in which she explains, she is praying to Lord Krishna immediately after Lord Krishna's birth. As Lord Krishna has just taken birth in the prison house of Kamsa, Mother Devaki is offering her prayers to little baby Krishna. And in this prayer, she is explaining that, my dear Krishna, people often call you avyakta. People often call you nirguna, nirvishesh, and all that. But I know why you are addressed like that. And in this beautiful verse, she is giving various reasons as to why, my dear Lord, you are called as avyakta. So Mother Devaki is saying in this verse, Rupam yattad prahur avyaktamadyam brahma jyotir nirgunam nirvikaram satta matram nirvishesham niriham satvam sakshad vishnur adhyatma deepah. So Mother Devaki, she is offering her glorification, she is offering her stuti. And acharyas explain that when devotees offer their stuti or glorification unto the Supreme Lord, that stuti is simply, we are addressing at the existing qualities of the Supreme Lord. But actually, the qualities of the Supreme Lord are ever expanding. Even in this material world, when we glorify someone or glorify someone's qualities, we are simply glorifying the existing qualities of that person. Like if a person is very beautiful or knowledgeable, then we address to the existing qualities of beauty or knowledge of that person. But in case of the Supreme Lord, all of his qualities, first of all, are unlimited. Like that verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Yova Anantasya Gunan Anantan Anukramishyan Satubal Buddhi Rajamsi Bhumet Ganayet Kathanchit Kale Na Naiva Akhila Shakti Dhamna. In this verse it is explained that how the Supreme Lord has got unlimited qualities. Yova Anantasya Gunan Anantan. And if somebody thinks that, let me try to figure out how many qualities the Supreme Lord has, Anukramishyan Satu Bala Buddhi, that he is Bala Buddhi, he is of childish mentality. If one thinks that I can figure out or count how many qualities the Supreme Lord has. And then this verse explains, Rajamsi Bhumet Ganayet Kathanchit. Just like there are unlimited sand particles on this planet Earth, and one can never count them. Similarly, the Supreme Lord has got unlimited countless qualities. And then it is explained, Kale Naiva, that even if in due course of time, if somebody is able to count all the sand particles, let us presume that somebody comes to that point of sophistication, science comes to that point of sophistication that they can even count every single sand particle on this planet Earth. But still, the qualities of the Supreme Lord will be countless in front of them. So, one nature of the qualities of the Supreme Lord is that they are unlimited, and each of these qualities are ever expanding. If we take one quality of Krishna, say knowledge or beauty, so right now we might pray unto Krishna or glorify the beautiful aspect of Krishna, saying that Krishna, he is as beautiful as a lotus flower. But at that very moment, Krishna's beauty has increased, which means at any given time, we can never sufficiently glorify even the existing qualities of Krishna, which are ever expanding. Just like right now, if somebody asks me, what is the time? I might say, it is 8:44 and 51 seconds. But as soon as I have said that, the watch shows 53 seconds. So at any given time, I can never say the right time. Because by the time I say that this is the time, the watch has jumped few seconds. So similarly, if we come in front of Krishna and say that Krishna is so beautiful or so knowledgeable, at that very moment Krishna's beauty and knowledge has increased. And therefore Krishna, he himself cannot ascertain how much beautiful he is. And therefore he has to come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So herein, Mother Devaki, in this particular stuti, she is trying to point out some of these qualities as to why, my dear Krishna, you are called as avyakta. Though you have a form, though you are vyakta, but still people address you as avyakta. So anything which is vyakta, vyakta means anything which is there in front of our senses, which can be perceived through our senses, it has some different reasons for its existence. There are certain causes behind the existence of anything which is vyakta, or behind the vyaktikaran of something or some object or some person. So herein, Mother Devahuti, she is saying, Rupam, that you have a rupa, my dear Lord. Yattat prahur avyaktam, but still people call you avyakta. And then she begins with the various reasons as to why you are called as avyakta. So the first reason she gives is that, my dear Lord, you are called as adyam. Now, anything which is manifested, anything which is vyakta, which is personal, it has to have a cause behind it. Just like this book stand. Now this book stand has a cause behind it. Some carpenter, Ranchod Mistri, whoever, has carved it. So someone is the cause behind the vyaktikaran of this book stand. But Mother Devaki is saying that, my dear Krishna, as far as you are concerned, who can be the cause behind your vyaktikaran? There can be no one who is the cause behind your existence. So therefore, in that sense, you are avyakta. Because anything which is vyakta has to have a cause. And because you are adhyam, you are adi of everything, you are the cause of everything, therefore you are sometimes addressed as avyakta. So this is the first reason Mother Devaki is giving. And then the next reason she gives, that, my dear Krishna, you are called as Brahma, which means you are all pervading. Like this name Vishnu also means he is all pervading. Vishati sarvatra iti Vishnu. That person who is all pervading is called as Vishnu. Now again, if we take the example of this book stand, which is vyakta, which is manifested. Now it requires some space for its manifestation. It requires this Vyasasana as a place for its manifestation, or wherever it is kept. So anything which is vyakta needs some space for its manifestation. So Mother Devaki is telling that, my dear Lord, you are known as Brahma, you are all pervading. Which space can accommodate you? There is no space in this world, or there is no place in this world which can accommodate you. So therefore, you are avyakta, because anything which is vyakta needs some space for its manifestation. And since you are all pervading, there is no space which can accommodate you, therefore you are avyakta. Now one might question that, how come then Krishna could be accommodated in the womb of Mother Devaki? That if he is all pervading, if he is Brahma, if he is Vishnu, how come he could be accommodated within the little womb of Mother Devaki? And the same question was asked by Mother Devahuti to Kapila Muni. Satvam bhrito me jathare na natha katham nu yasyo daram etadasit vishvam yugante vatapatra ekatha sheshesma maya shishurangri paanaha. Mother Devahuti is also asking to Kapila Muni that how is it possible that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you are all pervading and you were accommodated in my jathara, within my udara, within my womb. So one example we can take by which we can understand that how come the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be accommodated, though he is all pervading, within the womb of Mother Devaki or Devahuti. Just like we are sitting in this room, and our bodies is there in this room, and within our body we have the mind. And if we right now within our mind think of the Himalayan mountains. Now Himalayan mountains are so big in size, it is impossible for this huge mountain to come within this little temple hall. But yes, we can say that it is in this temple hall because it is in my mind. So I am in the temple hall, my mind is there within my body, and within my mind is the Himalayan mountain, so this Himalayan mountain is within this temple hall. Now mind is a subtle element. Subtler than mind is intelligence. Subtler than intelligence is false ego. Then we have the soul, which is subtler than all these material ingredients. And then subtler than soul is the super soul. And the subtlest is the Bhagavan feature. So if Bhagavan, who is the subtlest, or if we can say that the mind, which is little subtler than the gross physical manifestation of our body, can accommodate a huge mountain and still be within the body and the body within the temple hall, why is it not possible for the subtlest of all elements, that is Bhagavan, to be within the womb of his mother and yet be all pervading? So therefore, here in Mother Devaki is saying that, my dear Lord, you are Brahma, you are all pervading, and anything which is manifested needs some space. So therefore you are called Avyakta. And then the next reason Mother Devaki is giving is, my dear Lord, you are called as Jyotihi. You are called as light. Now anything, again, which is manifested, which is Vyakta, in order to see that manifestation, you need some light. Like we can see so many manifestations within this temple hall. There is this Tanpura, this book stand, this glass. We can see because there is light. If there is no light, we can't see any of these objects, though they are present over here. So Mother Devaki is saying that anything which is Vyakta needs some light in order to see its Vyaktikaran. But my dear Lord, which light can show you? Which light can show your manifestation? Because you are the source of all light. Sun is the source of light for this material world. And sun receives all the light from the Brahma Jyoti, which is emanating from the divine form of Krishna. So which light can show Krishna? In fact, Krishna is showing us everything because of, you know, the expansion of his energies. So therefore, Mother Devaki is saying, no light can show you. Therefore, you are Avyakta, because anything which is Vyakta, in order to see it, you need some light. And then the fourth reason Mother Devaki is giving, that, my dear Lord, you are called as Nirguna. Again, anything which is manifest within this material world is under the three gunas. Either goodness, passion, or ignorance. Anything which is Vyakta is under the three modes of material nature. So Mother Devaka is saying that, my dear Lord, you are beyond the three gunas. You are gunatit, trigunatit. And because you are beyond the three modes, therefore, you are also addressed as Avyakta, because anything which is Vyakta is under the three modes. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that this doesn't mean that Lord Krishna is without any qualities. Just like if a very costly jewel or a diamond, which is so costly that you can't put a price tag to it, then many times in our conventional language, we might say that this diamond is invaluable. Now this doesn't mean, invaluable doesn't mean that the diamond doesn't have any value. Invaluable can also mean, or can be interpreted, that it is valueless. Or invaluable can also mean that it is so much of value that you can't put a price tag to it. So when Lord is addressed as Nirguna, it means that his gunas are so much and so refined in its quality that you can't say that, yes, Lord has this guna. Therefore, he is addressed as Nirguna. So Mother Devaki is saying that, therefore, you are Avyakta because you are addressed as Nirguna. And then she is giving the fifth reason, that, my dear Lord, you are called as Nirvikara. Now, vikara, we know, vikara means transformation. Like when we put some vikara in milk, that culture, it turns into yogurt. Here in Mother Devaki is saying that anything which is Vyakta is a transformation of something. Like this stand, wooden stand, is transformation of wood from a tree. So this was a wood from a tree or log of wood, which was transformed into this book stand. So now when we look at this book stand, we don't call it as tree. though it has come from tree. But now we call it as book stand. This is also, some portion is wood. But we don't call it as, again, tree. We call it as Tanpura. So, anything which is Vyakta is a transformation of something. But Mother Devaki is saying, my dear Lord, what can be something which can be transformed into you? Everything is transformed from you. So therefore you are Nirvikar. You are beyond any transformation. Because everything which is existing is nothing but transformation from you. You are not a result of anything else's transformation or anyone else's transformation. So therefore you are called as Avyakta because you are Nirvikar. And then Mother Devaki is saying that, my dear Krishna, you are also addressed as Nirvishesha. Vishesha means there is any differentiation. We have from a tree a flower which grows, and you can make a garland out of that flower, those flowers. And then from that same tree you can make a table. So one tree has got differentiation. It produces flowers, it produces fruits, it produces leaves, it produces wood. Now, as far as Krishna is concerned, Mother Devaki has already established that you are beyond any transformation, and therefore there is everything within you is beyond differentiation also, because there is no transformation. So therefore, you are Nirvishesha also. And because you are Nirvishesha, anything which is Vyakta is differentiated, is transformed, therefore you are called as Avyakta. It's confusing. And then Mother Devaki is saying that anything which is Vyakta in this material world, it requires someone's desire for its manifestation. Somebody desired to make this Tanpura or this book stand. So because of someone's desire, we see these things are manifested. But who is that person who desired to create you? There is no one who desired to create Krishna. You are the source of everyone's desire. So therefore you are addressed as Niriham. And because no one desired to create you, and anything which has been created is a manifestation of someone's desire, therefore you are called as Avyakta. And finally, Mother Devaki is saying that yes, somebody might have desire to create something, but merely having that desire is not enough. One has to have knowledge also to create. So with desire there has to be knowledge, like this chandelier. Somebody might have desired to make this chandelier, but along with that desire, that person also had knowledge to create this chandelier. Now who is that person who has the knowledge to create the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So therefore you are Avyakta, because there is no one who could gather so much knowledge to create the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore you are beyond desire, you are beyond knowledge. And that Mother Devaki is saying, you are Adhyatma Deepaha, you are beyond knowledge. So herein Mother Devaki is giving all these reasons as to why, my dear Lord, you are called as Avyakta. Because of all these reasons. And she begins this verse by saying that actually you have a Rupa. And all these different adjectives which are used to address you for your Brahman feature is actually because you are the cause of all these features as your form which is there in front of me. And therefore we see that not just the different features of the personal features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are so wondrous, but even the extended features, this material world, is so wondrous. And that's what Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, that whatever you see, all these vibhutis of this world, it is nothing but a spark of my splendor. यद्यद् विभूति मत सत्वम श्रीमत ऊर्जितमेव तत्तद् एवावगच्छत्वम मम तेज अंश संभवम. That this is just my amsha, a spark of my splendor. And just yesterday I was listening to one of the lectures of Radhanath Maharaj, and he was explaining that he was speaking on the same verse, that how everything is just a spark of Krishna's splendor. And he said that yes, this material world might have all these different splendorous things, which is just a spark of Krishna's big huge splendor. And he gave the example, just like you have a big fire and you have a spark. Now spark is of the same quality of that of the fire, but that spark cannot satisfy you. Only the big fire can satisfy you. So these scientists and other people are researching just with the sparks of this big fire of Krishna. They are so much fascinated just by trying to grasp, hold on, and even they can't hold on to that little spark of this big fire, because the nature of spark is, it is temporary. It is seen just for a momentary time and then it gets extinguished. So you can't hold on to the spark, and the spark cannot satisfy you. Similarly, even though Krishna says that all these things in this material world is my vibhuti, but it cannot satisfy us unless we have the big fire Krishna. So unless we are connected with the big fire, we cannot be satisfied. And that is what here in Jada Bharat is explaining to Maharaj Rahuguna, that yes, Krishna is the cause of all causes, and all these different manifestations of the different elements we can understand analytically, but all of our analysis should go back to the cause of all causes, that is Krishna. And only when we understand that Krishna is the cause of all causes, He is Sarva Karana Karanam, and we water that Sarva Karana Karanam, that is the only way by which we can satisfy ourselves and satisfy the whole humanity. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
Thank you for a wonderful class, Prabhu. Prabhuji, in the translation it is said by Jad Bharat.
Huh?
In the translation. That we are all made up of dust, and after death we will all go into dust. Means actually it is previously said that we are living entities in these bodies, and the later part of the translation is, I think, a little contradiction to me.
That we are all dust and we'll go back to dust? That is about the material body.
But why it said we?
We means whoever is having the material body. Whoever is in the bodily conception of life thinks that I am this body, and this body is nothing but all these material elements. And the prominent material element on this earth planet is earth. And this will be mingled into earth at the time of death. So that is what Jada Bharat is meaning over here. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.